Chapter 20. Merely the Scene. Although, venerable sir, I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage, let the Blessed One teach me the Dharma in brief. Let the Fortunate One teach me the Dharma in brief. Perhaps I may understand the meaning of the Blessed One's statement. Perhaps I may become an heir to the Blessed One's statement. What do you think, Mahalunkya Putta? Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those forms cognizable by the eye that you have not seen and never saw before, that you do not see and would not think might be seen? No, venerable sir. Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those sounds cognizable by the ear that you have not heard and never heard before, that you do not hear and would not think might be heard? No, venerable sir. Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those odours cognizable by the nose that you have not smelled and never smelled before, that you do not smell and would not think might be smelled? No, venerable sir. Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those tastes cognizable by the tongue that you have not sensed and never sensed before, that you do not sense and would not think might be sensed? No, venerable sir. Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those tactile objects cognizable by the body that you have not sensed and never sensed before, that you do not sense and would not think might be sensed? No, venerable sir. Do you have any desire, lust, or affection for those mental phenomena cognizable by the mind that you have not cognized and never cognized before, that you do not cognize and would not think might be cognized? No, venerable sir. Here, Mahalunkya Putta, regarding things seen, heard, sensed, and cognized by you, in the seen there will be merely the seen. In the heard there will be merely the heard. In the sensed there will be merely the sensed. In the cognized there will be merely the cognized. When, Mahalunkya Putta, regarding things seen, heard, sensed, and cognized by you, in the seen there will be merely the seen. In the heard there will be merely the heard. In the sensed there will be merely the sensed. In the cognized there will be merely the cognized. Then, Mahalunkya Putta, you will not be by that. When, Mahalunkya Putta, you are not by that, then you will not be therein. When, Mahalunkya Putta, you are not therein, then you will be neither here nor beyond, nor in between the two. This itself is the end of suffering. I understand in detail, venerable sir, the meaning of what was stated by the Blessed One in brief. Having seen a form with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the visible form. covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having heard a sound with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the sound. Covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having smelt an odour with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the odour, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having enjoyed a taste with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the taste, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having felt a contact with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the contact, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having known an object with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the object, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. When, firmly mindful, one sees a form, one is not inflamed by lust for forms. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one sees the form, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When firmly mindful, one hears a sound. One is not inflamed by lust for sounds. One experiences it with dispassionate mind, and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one hears the sound, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one smells an odour, one is not inflamed by lust for odours. One experiences it with dispassionate mind, and does not remain holding it tightly. one fares mindfully in such a way that even as one smells the odour, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one enjoys a taste, one is not inflamed by lust for tastes. One experiences it with dispassionate mind, and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one enjoys the taste, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one feels a contact, one is not inflamed by lust for contacts. One experiences it with dispassionate mind, and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one feels the contact, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one knows an object, one is not inflamed by lust for objects. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one knows the object, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one diminishing suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. It is in such a way, venerable sir, that I understand in detail the meaning of what was stated by the Blessed One in brief. Good, good, Malunkyaputta. It is good that you understand in detail the meaning of what was stated by me in brief. Having seen a form with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the visible form. Covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having heard a sound with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the sound. Covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having smelt an odour with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind, and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the odour, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having enjoyed a taste with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the taste. covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having felt a contact with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the contact, covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having known an object with mindfulness muddled, attending to the pleasing sign, one experiences it with infatuated mind and remains tightly holding to it. Many feelings flourish within, originating from the object. Covetousness and annoyance as well, by which one's mind becomes disturbed. For one who accumulates suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be far away. When, firmly mindful, one sees a form, one is not inflamed by lust for forms. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one sees the form, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When firmly mindful, one hears a sound. One is not inflamed by lust for sounds. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one hears the sound, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one smells an odour, one is not inflamed by lust for odours. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one smells the odour, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one enjoys a taste, one is not inflamed by lust for tastes. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one enjoys the taste, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one feels a contact, one is not inflamed by lust for contacts. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one feels the contact, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one dismantling suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. When, firmly mindful, one knows an object, one is not inflamed by lust for objects. One experiences it with dispassionate mind and does not remain holding it tightly. one fares mindfully in such a way that even as one knows the object, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. For one diminishing suffering thus, Nibbana is said to be close by. It is in such a way, Malunkyaputta, that the meaning of what was stated by me, in brief, should be understood in detail. Then the venerable Malunkyaputta departed, dwelling alone, withdrawn, diligent, ardent, and resolute. And the venerable Malunkyaputta became one of the Arahants.